Well, let's just say I could write a hell of a paper on a grown man who dresses like a flying rodent.
Welcome to another episode of the Arkham Case Files, where the inmates run the asylum. I'm Darren.
I'm Jason.
I'm Chris.
I'm Ian.
And this is the first episode of our new relaunched approach to the game. So over the last 15 months, since the release of 3rd edition, you've heard us talking through a lot of the decks and cards in quite a lot of detail. And the casts have been running for 2 hours, most of them. And to be quite honest with you, it's got a little bit dry. So we've decided that we're going to change things up. What do you think we're going to be changing up the most, Jason?
The pacing. Like, that's obviously the answer there. We're going to probably be cutting it down by, like, 3/4. Have some fun here. Be able to listen to it without just getting bored of my amazing voice.
I mean, no one can get bored of your rants, you know, when you go off on a random tangent. You know, I think some of those that haven't been released to the general public may need to be put into the public domain at some point.
We could put a Jason cut out there one day.
Like the Snyder cut, but the Jason cut.
Yeah, it has to be 4 or 6 hours. We'll fill it with all the bits from every episode with Nathan, you, me, all the guests, just everything.
So I think for today, we're going to talk a little bit about what we're going to be doing going forward. We're going to talk generally about the new releases rather than going through every single card, because this would be a 6-hour episode with the release of 3 new decks. And then answer some of the questions that were put to us on the Discord by the community and see if there's anything else that we want to cover. So shall we dive right in and talk about how the episodes are going to look? Talking about keeping them down to that half-hour format so that we can listen to them possibly on your journey into work. What sort of things do you want to see us covering?
So the biggest thing is obviously we're not covering the cards, but we still want to, since we're kind of relaunching this, I think we need to go back from square one and let's start talking about these crews again and looking at the crew more generally than just looking at their cards. Kind of beginner focused, but at the same time, maybe some more in-depth tactics and stuff like that as we go through it, but still that 30-minute time frame, possibly more in a month than we're running right now, since they're a little bit shorter.
Yeah, could always space them out.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that we can look at is the way that, for example, if you play a Batman crew, how does a crew look if you take Batman? How does the crew look if you don't take Batman? What are the differences? And I think that could be something really interesting for us to have a look at.
Yeah. Henchmen combinations with the various leaders, which sidekicks pair better with different leaders or sidekicks pairing with different henchmen. And then, of course, being a card game at the same time now, which cards are you leaving home more often? Which cards are must-takes? Are there any must-takes that pair with a specific leader compared to must-takes with other guys?
Yeah, and of course, then free agents, you know, like, how do they fit in? Because they're the ones that you're always trying to find that perfect crew for Killer Croc or Deadshot. Which leader, you know, gives them the best bang for their buck?
And also, we can maybe give people an overview on the sort of style of the way that the crews actually play, you know. So if you want to play a more control style leader who's supporting rather than the leader who's in the thick of it and leading from up front, you know, which crews suit that, or which leaders within certain crews suit that. And I think hopefully we can just give you a bit of an insight into what our thoughts are and the thoughts that we've gathered from people on the community as well, because we do take a lot of feedback on board from what people tell us.
Yeah, and the data, of course. I mean, I've been running the community Discord, the TTS leagues. The TTS leagues, I never had a good name for them. The 4-month-long New Year's League, but Joker's really strong. That's an opinion that we gave that was incorrect, that he was weak.
I don't think I ever ever said that.
I recall we did early on that Joker was weak because he couldn't reach 50 points.
That I changed when he got henchmen that couldn't get cards.
Well, even without those, he is more consistently scoring the bulk of his cards. So Joker's floor is much higher than a lot of these other groups.
For sure.
And that's something that we can go into. We can talk about like potential scoring, but also consistency of scoring for that particular crew. And also, you know, how new player friendly they are, because I think certain crews are going to be more one where you've got to get your games in to sort of get to understand them, and other ones are going to be easier to pick up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's definitely some hard pickup crews in this game.
And it's going to be interesting for me talking about that, particularly as having not played as many games with not being on TTS for the last 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the plans going forward for our relaunch. But we are still going to look at what's coming out. But rather than go through every single card, we're just going to sort of get an overall overview. So this month, we only got a handful of new releases. You know, no big crew box, although obviously there has been some major things coming out. What do you guys think of the Year One and Crazy Quilt releases that we've seen? What stands out for you on them, guys?
Vigilante work. I feel like on the Discord, everyone's thinking about Shadow Agent and stuff, but I mean, I played a game with him where I didn't punch a single time, just ran around revealing three suspects, placing some down, shooting below darts, and I'm like, this is super strong. The action economy is crazy. And like, that's just the baller on a 121 point model.
Now, keep in mind, it does say this model may take an effort to perform an extra manipulate action. So I'm reading that as you are limited to just one effort for one extra manipulate per activation.
I was reading that because I have to check the new rule book, but that's the same wording as dodge. This model may take an effort to reduce a rate of fire or an attack dice, not rate of fire, but you get the idea. It doesn't say a limit. You know, that's obviously there's a strict timing. You know, this is happening with a ranged attack and everyone has an effort limit of three. But I do kind of think you could do this more than once.
I don't see you it being necessarily a negative. He does have low willpower, at least on this model. Now, this could be a trait used on somebody else down the road, but I don't see a model coming out with a willpower of 9 and Vigilante's work paired up together.
I think they've deliberately designed it that way with the low willpower to make up for that rule, which I think is, like you say, it's a very characterful rule, particularly for that. You know, where he sits in the Batman lore as well.
Yes.
But even if, let's say, it's just the cap of one, you do that, you use one of the resource cards, which we did get some new ones. There's not four cards in the deck that give you extra manipulates. So you could do, Batman could do two manipulate actions and still an attack action. Very nice.
Now, how do you feel with him not having a bat claw? That seems huge for a Batman.
Speed 12.
You know, he kind of can get around it. The big thing is his movement never jump ups to 18. Or no, it would be 18. Instead, it's the place 6 inches with the bats. With the bats.
It's a place anywhere within four. So yeah. he can essentially get to 5 inches, because it doesn't say completely within four. It's just anywhere within four. And being a 40 mil base, he's kind of getting a 6 inch. Or, excuse me, a 5 inch extra movement. If this model is affected, it may be placed anywhere within 4 inches of its current position, but you target a suspect within 6 inches. But of course, it has to be much closer because he still has to be under the template for it to trigger on him.
Which is why Vigilante's work, he efforts to place one of these, targets it with Bat Beacon, teleports, maybe, because he needs to roll a 7 on that. So.
No.
I mean, he could also target an enemy suspect, right? It didn't say friendly.
Yeah. He'll always be able to do this and still punch somebody if he wanted to.
Yeah.
Yes. But he doesn't have to roll over 7 for him. He ignores all the effects and everything. It's just if he's under the template, he gets to teleport the 4 inches.
There's a period there. Okay.
Yeah, so no matter what, that's essentially his Batclaw. The Bat Beacon is him moving. But what's nice is this kind of gets around the knockdown situation. So with regular Batclaw, if you knock down a Batman, he can't Batclaw and get away because the first thing he has to do is stand up. And that uses his movement action. So you can't interrupt that movement action to use the Batclaw to add the 6 inches to jump around. So knocking down Batman's really huge. This guy can get around that.
And this guy can also just move, attack, and then move again.
Yes.
But you're not going to be, you know, jumping and bat clawing up buildings, really, because this isn't adding to your movement. And then, you know, you do take the, you know, the minus
it 4. Is up. Yeah, but it is placed within 4 inches, not move within 4 inches. So he can't go on top of a building if his base would be within 4 inches of itself.
You know, I agree with you, although I do want to check the new rule book, because I don't know, did they change the placing rules?
I don't know, I have to check.
I don't know either, though. But the whole thing looked like they had a nice overhaul. There's some good standouts.
I do have to say, the other thing to note with this Batman is he's not a martial artist, so he can be outnumbered, so his defense 5 is a little bit weaker than it is on the other ones. Yeah. But
overall, for 121 points, I do think having paralyze, like, you are good not even attacking someone. You just paralyze them.
Potentially, too, because it's rate of fire 1 and you split the die.
Potentially. And it is a silencer, so they can't acrobat away.
Yeah, that can be really clutch against some higher defense models where you just roll the strength dice against them and they can't dodge it.
Mm-hmm. There is one thing to note with this Batman. Don't think it really matters. He only has one batarang, not one rate of fire, or one ammo with the batarang. Most have two. Don't think that really matters, but...
No, I don't think I've ever thrown two in a game. I always try to make sure I throw one just to do some split, some quick stun to help out another guy. But I can see this one
if he had to, although he has the blow dart. But if you were going to move and then you're like, well, I'm attack 4. I mean, the batarang is pretty good if you know they're going to, you know, you're only gets a good target that would ever sneak attack. But if I'm going to get sneak attack, I'm going to just punch. And that's why he's attack 4, because sneak attack is really good.
Yeah, it also helps him with his lower willpower, because if they can't effort, then he doesn't always have to effort going into an attack. But honestly, I think one of the biggest things is his Shadows Agent. The fact that if he's your boss, you choose somebody else to be your boss. That is massive for Batman. I think that's been one of the biggest weak points of him, because you want him to go off and be Batman, but you also need that inspire range back for your little guys, and it's such a hard thing to balance.
Bad thing about it is now he can't run a Batman crew. The Batman team, excuse me.
Oh, his boss always?
Yeah, because I don't think you can... That rule says must, right?
If this model is the boss before the start of the game, choose another friendly model to be the boss instead. So he would still be recruited as always boss, and then as soon as the game starts, you choose one of the other Bat Family guys.
Yeah, so then you would lose out on the always boss ability that the teams have.
Of the other models inspiring.
So you lose the inspiring portion of it.
Yeah,
and a good thing to note, though, is the boss radius doesn't have with this rule. It only has when that model dies.
Right.
Like, I saw that somewhere in the Discord that someone thought it would have, and it's like, no, it doesn't.
Oh, I can see where the thought comes from.
Yeah.
But honestly, this guy shouldn't be running with the Bat Family. He was around before that existed.
Yeah.
Good point. That's why I'm fine with that rule being there, if it works that way.
Yeah. And I honestly think Bat Family could get around without Inspire. Generally do. Because they have the new cards, and you got some models that are... They have good action economy anyway.
I mean, they're a team, so they sort of sit a little bit outside where the rest of the crew sit in the game at the moment as well.
Yeah. I think no one thinks about teams.
Teams is a whole other thing to talk about, I think.
But overall, great. I like him.
Did you guys buy him?
He's interesting. What about the other year one models in Gordon and Flask?
Flask? I love him in OC. Just because I don't really like learning Lex in OC, he's really good, but like I prefer running OC and OC mobsters for thematic purposes. So Flask lets me take those really good cat models. But he's nothing amazing. You know, he's just a dude with a baseball bat. His biggest thing is detective and evidence tampering. But he's movement 8, and I played a game with him, and I was just like, man, Flask, you are super slow. I don't think I actually got him anywhere interesting until turn 4. And that's because my opponent finally decided to get close to my deployment zone.
Is there any way to speed him up in OC?
There is no... Carmine's card is the only way inherently to speed him up. I mean, obviously, then you got the generic cards, and I have to go through the crew if there's anyone who followed me, but I don't think there is.
He can take a backclaw with equipment, though, can't he?
He can, and the backclaw is, as of now, 250. Yeah. So.
How often are you taking him in Batman?
Depends. I mean, double, you know, like running a lot of detectives, double evidence tampering seems all right, but he has so much more competition. I think I'd only take him if I was just like, I want to run a lot of detective cops. But yeah, he doesn't really stand out too much for me.
At the same time, though, the detective trait, doesn't that kick in with the new Batman car that came out?
It does, but it's detective or sidekick and free agent rank. So I'm like, you have a lot of other options. You can either pick Batman, which I think you're going to do. You could pick Bullock. You could pick Gordon. I don't know. I just think you could pick some other models. Owlman's a huge one for that card. Having your cats reveal.
So I like them. I don't know how to say it any better than that.
Yeah. No, I think he's not a staple in my new list, but I'm definitely going to take him a couple times. I don't think he replaces Bullock. They're the same rep, same cost of everything. But Bullock just does the job a little bit better.
Yeah. Bullock comes with a card order and has hidden.
Yeah, it's almost like if Flass had hidden or if there's a way to give him hidden, that'd be... we might be talking a little bit different then.
Well, I do think... Doesn't Flass come with... I don't have his card up. Doesn't he come with a bulletproof vest?
Yes.
He does.
That's something Bullock doesn't have. He's a little more survivable. And that does save you a little on the funding, but... Ultimately, I don't think it's really important, although, again, really great for OC because I find my funding is tight even with Falcone.
Yeah, I'm going to be taking him in OC because in second edition I had a cop OC crew that was basically Loeb led. And if I'm still using my first edition models with him, it just gives me more options for cops that I can put in there. So basically, it's an OC crew with all cops apart from one other model, which is a Lex Heavy Trooper painted up in GCPD colors. So that's the only reason I'm taking him.
Ooh, SWAT bot.
Yeah.
I like
painted it. Painted up like the Batman, when Commissioner Gordon was Batman in the blue Batman suit.
Oh, God.
That's what that is.
The Robo Bunny.
Basically, I just decided they wanted a crew where they decided they'd been had their asses kicked by too many metahumans. They got some heavy firepower to bring it back. So it was... Brandon, Loeb, that heavy trooper, 3 cops, and something else.
Mm-hmm.
And it just helps build that. It's not a great crew. I'm not even looked at how it runs with the deck. It's just something I like running for fun.
I love the deck with this guy. He really works with the cops. Oddly enough, the cops really score the deck. But moving on to the last, well, not the last, we have the last year one model, Gordon. What do you guys think about him? His big standouts to me really do seem this coordination and his observation role.
Observation is really good, but it's kind of tough to play around with the timing of it all.
Because
you want to save him to activate towards the end, but with coordination, sometimes you've already set up a situation where you need to go trigger that event. So it's a tough one. And he's likely always taken an audacity.
Yeah. And he also, being Gordon, he lets you buy order for the crew. So I just like, he seems really good building around that if you don't want to buy Leader Gordon. And him and Larita seem great. You're just like, hey, Larita, shoot twice in a round.
So I can set up somebody where I give somebody order, and then Gordon can coordinate with them to then order somebody else, right?
Yes.
Just to help do the whole secure the perimeter and some, you know, little cheeky combinations like that.
Mm-hmm. Or or you know, move, you know, just moving another model, like, because then you can move a model twice. That's a really big thing, because there is a lot of cards now where you're like, hey, have you want more models in this certain area? So, you know, if your opponent's trying to do that, you're like, all right, I want to move this model in there. Coordinate, I want to move this other model in there. Then Gordon's going to run in there.
I just think if it's in a really nice, unique slot in the crew, and like you say, the combinations that you can play with him, he's just seems like he has a place where I would almost start to take him in every crew if I wasn't taking the leader, Gordon.
Yeah. That's the tough one. Do you choose lieutenant or do you choose commissioner?
Yeah, which I want to take a second to really go about, like, is Leader Gordon, like, are you still going to take him? He does get heliport. That's something the lieutenant doesn't have. He does bring a 3-point card, and I guess he has the bat signal rule. I can't think of a lot else that really bump him up.
Well, the free arrest, and when you think that three of your, you got 3 3-point cards that all require arresting. So being able to do that for free is pretty big. If you're going against somebody with a lot of bodyguards, I've always used the heliport, or have had that against me, where the heliport is the first thing that goes after the bodyguards.
Yeah. So do you think you feel there's a niche role for that Gordon still? Think he's viable? Because I've not seen him played a lot in third. I'm not sure if that's just a lot of people are like, oh, Batman's super great in third. And, you know, the balance really changed for Gordon's not everyone's up to your pick.
I think it's going to come down to when we start to see some really good sidekicks.
Yeah.
Where Gordon can then be the leader, get the inspire. He can inspire the cops. And then now we have a Nightwing or maybe a better Red Robin that could go out and essentially do that Batman role. So you don't have to do the year one Batman. And then by getting a good sidekick like Nightwing to fill that.
I mean, we got Red Hood.
Red Hood could do it, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, do you want more stun or do you want blood? Because you want to
arrest. He can do both.
So.
He has a crowbar and a sword.
Oh, that's true.
That crazy crowbar. I got to play him more. He just seems dirty.
He's very dirty. When he came out, I'm like, uh-oh, power creep. And then everything started to settle back down.
Yeah, but they settled down right on Red Robin. I'm like, get out of here.
You know that was planned.
The boy wonders.
So I think if we get some more games in, we'll actually be able to, when we do talk about the Batman crews, talk about the two different Gordons and, you know, which is the one that we prefer and maybe sort of come back to that one.
Yeah.
There's one more new release model for the month, which was one I'd never seen before and I had to look up. Apparently from the 1960s.
I'm a little surprised, just like in general, I'm hearing more people not know who Crazy Quilt was, but knew who Calendar Man was or Condiment King. Because, maybe this is just I enjoy some of the comics, but he really messed up Nightwing recently.
Well, the big thing, so Calendar Man was in the Arkham games, and he was that huge Easter egg where if you changed your date, he would say something different. So because of that, he's in all these YouTube videos. He got a lot of exposure from the Arkham games.
Right.
And we had a Calendar Man model released, you know, back in end of first, early second. Crazy Quilt. I've known of Crazy Quilt by name, and if you'd shown me the picture, I wouldn't have said that's Crazy Quilt.
Hmm.
I knew he was one of those weird old D-listers from back in the day, but I don't know anything about him.
Yeah.
And I'm fairly well, big
Nightwing
the
laughed
Batman.
At him one day, and he really messed him up in like Nightwing Rebirth.
I need to get back into comics. I haven't read any new stuff in years.
It's been a bit for me, but like I kind of hopped off a few years ago.
Right.
But the model, what do you guys think? He only has 3 trays.
I think he plays
that's
well.
Misleading.
Very misleading. Because one of them is criminal, and you're going, okay, so the criminal keyword. But in OC now, we've seen some stuff that work with criminal. So
it's one card in Ventriloquist as of now.
I'm digging it. It's something.
It is something.
You taking him with Joker? Probably not.
He has mind control. I mean, I've already thought of, Ivy, triple mind control. Ivy, Mad Hatter, this guy.
That's what I'm thinking. Or Scarecrow, him, and Ivy. So that way you can make sure you get those hypnotized off a little bit easier after reducing will powers.
Hell, run Kite Man, then also have Mad Hatter.
Oh, God.
I
don't know how good that is, actually. It just sounds funny. Although, actually, I was making an OC list with Ventriloquist because one of his rules gives +1 to hit with every criminal. That's huge. Having all these D-listers with criminal, they're just like +1 to hit.
Now, is that just on melee attacks or anything?
Anything.
So now his lethal blast is much more lethal.
Yes. He's like, I'm a hard guy. Whoop him. And then, oddly enough, Calendar Man is not a criminal. I'm a little disappointed about that. So
I'm fine with it.
I don't know if that's going to change. Like maybe.
He's got enough other stuff. Calendar Man is your go-to. He doesn't need any more.
generic or whatnot. Maybe. Maybe one day. Well, I still think I'm going to take him in this list because I want the strategist.
Exactly. He doesn't need all the other stuff. He's good enough. He's fair.
It's really not, though, because I bring him up all the time. That's probably not a fair model.
It's only because he has strategist. If he didn't have that, I think we would be talking about him way less.
Yeah, strategist is really good. But anyway, back to Crazy Quill. Lethal, like mind control, 44-point henchman. Can only buy him one equipment option. And then he has lethal blast and a lantern.
I think he is expensive. You're going to have to force his way into a list at 44 points. If he was 38, 36, I feel like he would be in a lot more list.
I feel like, I think 44, I don't know, I'm happy with him at 44. I do think it's a little expensive, but that's the same as Polka Dot and Killer Moth. And I kind of do like that niche D list. It's like, oh, they clearly all have the same price tag.
But now,
just for variety, I don't know. I kind of like the fact that you might not always have lists that's like all the D-listers because they're crazy cheap.
So even with Hypnotize, putting him in an Ivy list, I would probably go Polka Dot Man over him just because he brings the extra protection for a leader that is a little squishy.
Yeah, I can see that.
So at that point, he's now, you know, he's competing with Polka Dot Man. And I'm like, I really want the Hypnotize, but now I'm bringing more fluffy stuff than anything else. I'm thinking maybe in Riddler. The whole,
I do like Riddler.
Enervating Blinding Blast Beam.
That's crit, you know, blind. Should be worth it.
Crit blind. And then you can hypnotize and make them. So when they're hypnotized, they're technically your model, right? So they can't go and reveal one of your suspects and then you can score a card. But
correct.
You can also, you can go place a suspect just to help.
That
with all
wouldn't
that.
Trigger it either, but you could place a suspect. So then later on, you could go reveal it for whatever reason. Oddly enough, I really do. OC, I think, is crews that I think Mind Control shines in is OC. And what other crew really wants to reveal suspects? That's not Batman, obviously. There's one other.
Penguin wants to keep them off the table. He's got a few things about that.
Yeah. So you might, I think those two are I'm looking at. And I honestly, OC, because killing the rat, so you can move him away, and also pinched mobster be like, oh, you damaged my dude. Okay, I'm going to have you run up, move my pinched mobster, thanks to manipulate, and just kind of keep it rolling. You know, you're moving him out of the way towards the rest of your crew, so then you can shoot him and score your killing cards. And then, you know, continue the work on that pinched mobster, which is totally doable. But you got to put the work in it.
I'm just thinking in Penguin, being able to hypnotize and move people around just to get them over to different territories.
Maybe. I mean, you think his main competition is Mad Hatter. He is 44 compared to his 70.
And he doesn't need the suspect down to begin with?
Yeah, because hypnotize is nothing. That's just a mind control device. Well, that's friend or foe suspect. But I mean, he benefits from Inspire. Mad Hatter gets a handyman. Mad Hatter, you know, he has a gun. It's rate of fire 1 or 2. Either way, I think the damage output's kind of similar. This one's probably more accurate and just reliable because you can see through walls.
Still dumb.
Well, that was this month's releases, other than the slew all the of decks. Cards. Yeah.
And then they re-released the starter set for everybody and the deck box. And then I actually did not know this, but like little marker packs for Batman and Joker. They were cool.
Yeah. Well, I think we need to just emphasize that a little bit more. Those were the releases apart from everything else.
Yeah.
So the starter set, the Joker, Commissioner Gordon, the card decks, the counter sets for Batman and Joker, and anything else that I've forgotten from that list. It was like, okay, everything's arrived that we needed for the game.
Yeah. I mean, I really want to have that deck pack. That's like 273 cards, roughly. Yeah. That's a lot.
We're not talking about all of them.
No, we're not, but that's a great price.
Oh, yeah. I was expecting somewhere around 30 to 35, and it was below 30.
Yeah, it was about the price of two of the old card packs.
Yep.
I have a feeling that they sold these almost at cost for them, or damn near close to cost, just as a, hey, sorry for this past year. Hopefully this makes things better. Buy a couple for your gaming group and then, you know, share them up among each other. Or now you have the cards for them, please buy the crews for them.
Yeah. You know, I hope this does tonight. Wow. Cause, you know, they have everything. New players jumping on now is definitely the best time.
Oh, they also had.
Oh, definitely.
If you didn't realize it, they had a whole bunch of bundles where you can get the box of all the cards and one of the crew decks. Or not the crew decks, the bat boxes. And some of them even came with a bat box and a leader. So, like, the militia box was $111 for all of the cards, the militia bat box, and Deathstroke.
Yeah.
Pretty good deal.
Mm-hmm. Which I did not even realize that, but, like, I didn't really need that stuff, so it didn't look too hard. But good that you mentioned it.
Yeah, had I not already placed my order, I would have been tempted to pick up one of those because I'm still missing some of the league. And I don't have the militia box.
Or that Deathstroke, if I recall. So that one would have been good for you.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't have him either.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was definitely a great set of releases aside from the new stuff.
Yeah. Which, not talking about the decks, but thematically, I love them. And the app, which is coming out, they say soon. I'm all soon. I don't know when that actually is.
They said April.
Yeah, well, hopefully really soon.
They said April, so I'm guessing whenever these things release out to the public, like the 30th of April seems to be when everything's going to be shipped, so maybe that day.
Yeah, if anything, like the app has to come out before the models hit people's hands, because then you technically would be selling a product that's unplayable because you have no way, since there's no cards packed, there's no more character cards packed into any new product.
It's technically not unplayable. I mean, you can print out the card.
That's unplayable.
It's not great. I agree with you, but I'm just like, you know, I could see them kind of finagle. It's like, it's technically it's not unplayable.
Yeah, it's
I've
not.
I've
got
to say, having
play.
A good app though is such an important thing. I mean, I think I play Malifaux, and I think Ian, you play a bit as well, and you appreciate just how good having a decent app is to support a game and help you to grow the community as well. When you can just pick something up and just look into it, really, really. And the fan made one was really good, but having something officially supported is even better.
Yeah,
one that especially. Especially one that allows you to play the game with the app. That is something that I think really would help out this game.
This will track ammo spent and the health, you know, that you've taken. So that's going to be a really big thing. It's not going to track effects, though. Is that one you're still going to want markers for?
Yeah, but if you think about it, the number of times then you're looking over to, like, playing face-to-face, not over TTS, but when you're looking at trying to look over the table to see where the damage is on your opponent's models, you know, where their ammo is, it's just something that takes time. And if you can see it more easily on the map, on the app, and you're not having to ask the question all the time, it's just something that, again, I think it's just all a positive and something that we've needed for a long time in the game.
Yeah, I agree. I hope they, like, can somehow sync up, like, lists, or you can have, like, both person's list on one phone. I don't know if that's going to be a function or not. I'm just thinking, like, I've played people that either don't have, you know, like, they don't play this game. I'm trying to demo it, so it's like, all right, that would be nice. Or I'll just have to get, like, some sort of second or something. Or if we're tournament play, it's like, I don't want to keep asking for your phone, I guess.
Yeah, I definitely want to see...
Anything like... Sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say, I definitely want to see a versus mode link up, even if it's just between Wi-Fi or Bluetooth. Some kind of syncing together needs to happen.
If it's anything like the Malifaux one, what they do is you can just have, like, you play the game on your own app, but they also can either generate a network or a local code, and you either generate a QR code or you sync up over internet, Bluetooth, and you can view your crew and their crew, the amount of damage that everything's taken, and the score of the game as it's going along as well. So that allows you to see both crews simultaneously. So again, something like that is kind of what I'm expecting, and I think that's kind of set the standard for what it has to be, really.
Yeah, so fingers crossed that everything, you know, comes out way right now as advertised. It looks like it's a very simplistic app, which is probably a good thing, because we don't want something very complex and crazy. We want it very beginner-friendly. And, you know, obviously competitive people are going to use it because it's like, oh, it's just very simple and fast.
Exactly.
But that seems to be all the new stuff. As I already said, the new decks are crazy. We rambled a little longer than I think we plan to in the future. But if you want to hear more about it, check out Discourse on YouTube. But the community questions.
Okay, so we've opened up a channel on the Discord to basically ask the case files to see what questions. And we got a few come through. So I'll go through them and we'll go around you guys, and then I'll give my answer last. So there's one that I'm going to save till last, but it was actually the first question and quite a few people jumped on it as well. And I apologise for pronunciation of people's Discord names as well. Fanon Roll Ice asked, what is our favourite models, either gameplay-wise or sculpt-wise?
Ivy.
So which one for that, gameplay or looks?
First of all, for looks, but I still feel that in game she's one of my more fun models. She brings enough tricks, enough crazy stuff that it's a different play style for me, and it really pushes my mind when I'm playing with her. And she was just a gorgeous model to paint.
Yeah.
So you're going with that for both of them?
Let me think on favorite model to actually play.
All right. I'll take the next one. What looks? Oh, that's a tough one. I think I just have to go with Red Robin because it's me.
Boom.
Although that's really tough. Because there's so many great sculpts in this game now. Like, honestly, the jump to 60 mils really helped. I think I've always had a sweet spot for Ace of Spades. It just looks cool. But Red Robin is pretty awesome. Gameplay-wise, man, I have no idea, actually.
Calendar Man.
Part of me really likes Riddler because he sets up the Riddler game, and you kind of need Riddler to play Riddler. But that's just saying I like the Riddler deck instead of Riddler himself. Yeah,
do you want to come back to you again, Jason?
So looks, it's gonna have to be Lex. That Lex Luthor model with his jacket going over his shoulders is one of their old models from 75 mil that I always loved. And the fact that they recreated that into 32 in almost perfect representation makes me so happy. I don't know what it is. I just love that model. I do like all the 60 mils that they've been coming out with, especially Ivy as well. But there's something about that Lex that I cannot let go. Gameplay wise, man. I mean, if it was last edition, it would have been the Chief. But
I mean, Chief is still really cool as a model. His deck just isn't that awesome. But also, I can confirm this now. A genius it is. It's what Sheldon is now. Like, that's without a question.
Yeah.
I think we all knew that, but there's a little question there.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay,
we knew these questions were decisive. Coming.
So my choices, in terms of model, I'm a League player, always have been. So the 60 mil Raz, and the fact that his base, you've got the choice of the 40 or the 60 mil, and it's interchangeable without having to mess around with magnets. I think they've just absolutely nailed that model completely 100%. So that's in terms of sculpt. In terms of gameplay, I'm going to go with Oracle because I've always liked the Barbara Gordon character. And I think the fact that she introduced that sort of Intel support type play where the model's not physically on the table, I just thought it was something really new and really interesting. And I like the way they've carried it forward with Court and Riddler, but she brought it first and in the crews that I play. So, yeah, Oracle in terms of my gameplay model.
I got to say, for at least 3/4 of the cast to be very unsure what their favorite model is, it's not the fact that no model's fun to play. It's the fact that there's too many fun models. It's just a really well-designed game.
I've got the questions written down in front of me, so I had a think about it before we came on air.
Oh, yeah. That's Smart on you. Part of me wants to say it's year one Batman because I got three darts in my bat belt. But I actually think it might be closer to just like Harvey Bullock or one of those like detective-y models like Gordon. That just, you have so many options when you activate them and you're like, oh, what all can I do?
All right.
So let's just go with New Gordon because I like coordination. It's really fun.
I'm going to choose two. I'm gonna cheat. Okay. First one's going to be Red Hood Joker because what's better than blowing up stuff with a little detonator? Mm-hmm. That model is fun to play with. And then I'm going back to Chief. I like pushing a guy on a wheelchair around the table. There's just something ultimately crazy and concerning about that while there's guns and everything else going on. Yes. I don't know. I love Doom Patrol before even the show came out. And I'm so glad that it's a crew.
Yeah, I mean...
Okay, so I think that was a good question. Anyone, Chris, your last choice?
I was going to say, I'm still kind of torn on choosing the Butcher for the rules and gameplay. Now that he's got that buff, I have to get him to the table some more. When I look at the card, I'm thinking this is going to be one of my new, let me put him in the list first. But mm-hmm. I can't do that with March. So he's yeah. the only torn. Like, when I think about what's your favorite rules and gameplay model, to me that's normally who's the first person that I put in a list every single time. And I don't think I have that.
Yeah. I don't know either. Like, the game's just super... Like, I basically just force myself. It's like, it's Gordon. I don't know, man. I like cops in general, though.
Great question, then. To get everyone, like, thinking so much about it. Mm. Next one's going to be from Discourse, who we've mentioned already for having a fantastic YouTube channel, which has been putting out some great content recently, particularly for bringing people into the game. Mm-hmm. Just, like... some really, really good material on there that's coming out really quickly. They want to know, what's the best crew overall?
Court of Owls, baby?
No, it's Mr. Freeze, guys. Come on. Mr. Freeze.
No, you just triggered someone there, Jason. Someone's just triggered.
Nah, I don't know. I think Riddler, probably. Although, we had a lot of fun with OC. But I think I gotta leave my answer to Riddler. Just the deck, it interacts super well together. Same thing for Owls. I think that's what makes them the best.
Unfortunately, I would have to say just Batman. Batman's always had the most options. It seems like no matter what crew comes out in a month's release for the past 4 years, there's always been a model for the Batman crew.
Mm-hmm.
I
forget, like, we just to say how many options he does have, I was just updating the TTS bag. He had, I think it was like 200 models or something in that bag, or was it 100? And with the cards, it was pushed up to 200. But, you know, there's, for every one model every crew gets, he has like four or five.
Exactly. I think at the end of the day, and if it's the best crew overall ever, so if we're going all the way back to first edition, you didn't even have to take Batman as your leader. He had so many other options. And yeah. I think that's just, he kind of has to win that by default just because of that.
This is facts, actually.
I'm going to have to agree with you on that one. As much as I would love to save my league, I was tempted to maybe go like Teen Titans or something because of like free rep and jankiness with building decks and stuff like that. But I just think Batman, I just think you've got so much you can do. You can put 10 people around a table and you'll get 12 different Batman lists.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'll never rank Teen Titans or any of those janky teams as the best. Because for me, if it's the best, it has to be enjoyable for both players. Good, yet enjoyable. And it could be fair, but a lot of times when you're playing at Teen Titans, it just feels like an uphill battle. You're like, oh, this is stupid. I killed you, yet you're not dead. What the hell?
That's so, a good point. A very, very good point.
I'm going with OC. Because, yeah, you have all the things that you're saying with Batman. But with OC, you just do the opposite. You have not as many leaders, but you have the full gambit of every free agent that is available to anybody is available to OC. You have the most leaders compared to any other bad guy faction. All of them go from a different gambit from...
You technically have the most...
Your support to a little bit more melee-focused. And then you have probably the largest henchman bubble of any other crew, especially if you go all the way back to First Ed. I think they're in a good running for probably best bad guy crew, just because of their options. That's me.
Yeah, I gotta say that I was just to chime in a little bit. Falcone's card, it just felt cool. I was just walking around against Bane, and I was just like, "You two mooks, follow me. You two mooks, follow me. Let's go." That's all I did. I was just like, "I am the untouchable." It felt, for a really bad model, it felt really fun to play.
He's not bad anymore now that they don't score extra points off of him. That was what made him bad.
And I still think he's bad that he has like four special actions and you don't want to do any of them.
That's true. He needs scientific or something that gives him, or something allows him to take an effort to make another another special action or something.
But he does give you extra funding and he does have that cool card. I liked him. And he's a grand strategist, which is amazing.
So the answers there were, I think, our first choices, but I think any of us could have easily picked a second choice as well. Although I think one person who should remain on end would always say court would always be first choice.
Every time.
Yeah, but again, another just, it's a really good balancing thing for a night. We all were like, oh, it could be this crew, it could be that crew. And running the leagues, a lot of them seem really fair. Joker is probably the strongest, just, you know, well, I mean, it is. But it's not, like, game-breaking strongest. You can still beat Joker.
So that was Discourse's question. We've got one from Deadlocked. And this one was, basically, when we're looking at a game, what do we look at? Are we looking at the theme, or are we looking at the mechanics? You know, can we play a game which has got good rules and mechanics to it, but we don't like the models, or if the models are great, can we let the rules go? So a little bit more to that one.
So I think with the Batman miniature game and the way Knight Models has been, I mean, I feel we're in a happy place now, but it's been rough for years. And every time that they do something really good, it lasts for 2-3 months and then they go right back to where they were. If this wasn't the Batman license, I don't think I would continue putting up with it to play this mechanic.
I think the mechanic's really fun, but the thing is, it's just like, what I deal with the mechanic and everything else part of the company. But it is the big thing of the theme. Like, I can't think of just this mechanic without the theme. Like, when playing OC, it's not like, oh, I'm like reading the card. I'm like, yeah, Pinch Mobster, the program. I'm like, you know, it hypes you up. I'm playing OC. Or I'm playing Cops. I'm playing Riddler. Like, that's... the theme's enjoying you, but the mechanic's good. But
because there's other, there's other superhero games that aren't licensed, and I've looked into them, and because they don't have a license, I have no connection to them, so I have a hard time even giving it a chance. So for me, I'll sacrifice a little bit of the mechanics for a good theme, because now I have a background, I have source material, I have things that I can do with the game when I'm not playing the game, if that makes sense.
I agree. Although, on the opposite side, though, it can't work the other way around. It's like, there's a theme with, you know, Marvel Crisis Protocol. And, you know, I like the theme. I think it's cool. But the mechanics have not looked interesting to me. So, I've had the same issue. Like, no one in my area really plays it. So I'm like, well, I'm not going to jump into another superhero game where no one plays. But if this game didn't have the mechanics either, I don't think I would have kept playing it.
Well, I don't know. First edition was super rough, and I still stuck through that one.
Yeah, I have been like jumping. It was still first. I remember playing a lot of games in first, like maybe 10 or less, but they were really janky. We didn't know what we were doing. But then it was second, so I quickly, once I learned, it was already second, so it worked out. But I almost gave up because before I like actually learned how the game was played, I was like, this doesn't make sense.
Yeah. So I like, this is a perpetual conversation for any miniature game out there. For me personally, I'm sitting in my game room right now and there's dozens of game systems in my room that have miniatures. I play games that are thematic, but also they have to draw me in with a mechanic that I like. That was my worry with third, is if I wouldn't have liked the mechanic, I don't know if I would have stayed. even though I love the theme. But luckily the mechanic works. I think it's actually improved on the thing that I was lacking in first and second, which was that all the crews kind of, I don't know why we're all battling over these ammo crates and other things like that. It just didn't make sense. But they go back to this. I mean, it's very much a mechanic thing and a theme thing for me. Because even if, like, with those other superhero games that don't have a set comic book strain, like, I like some of those that aren't like that, but because they have a cool background that I can read into and kind of latch into, and also have a cool thematic mechanic with it that's different. But yeah, that's my way to look at it. I know it's not really one way or the other. I guess if I had to choose one, it would definitely be mechanic over thematic. But if the minis are crap, I won't play the game.
Yeah, I think I'd have to choose thematic first and foremost, because that's what's drawing me in the first place. And that's what's going to draw new players and my, you know, expertise. And I can't explain, oh, this game, you know, play it this way and this way. And they're like, well, why am I going to play this and not something else? It's like, well, it's Batman. I should lead with Batman. That's the draw. Yeah. That's the hook. And then it just happens to have really good mechanics.
I mean, for me, I think it's got to be both. An example I'll give you is when Wild West Exodus was kickstarted, me and a group of my local players here went into it like full-on backers. My name's in the list of Kickstarters in the original hardback book. And we liked the mechanics. The models were absolutely stunning. But then they didn't know what they wanted to do with the game. And it went from like a steampunk, cyberpunk western, and it started to scale up where you needed more and more stuff, going towards more like sort of War Machine and then 40K scale. And it's like, well, that's not what we signed up for. And I don't think they had an identity of what they wanted the game to be. And I tried to talk to the developers at Gen Con, and they were just real fanboys about their own system, but I don't think they knew what they wanted. It went out of business, it got taken over by Warcradle, and the rules got completely rewritten to another set of rules that we tried and we just don't like. So I've now got a range of absolutely fantastic models with a fantastic setting that's unique, and they had some great ideas, but it's not been out of the case in 2-3 years, purely because I can't get my head around liking those mechanics. The opposite of that is the Walking Dead game, where I've got a friend who produces videos for it, and I can watch his battle reports, and I absolutely love some of the ideas of the mechanics around that, with having this third party that's like AI controlled with the walkers. The models always sort of put me off, but then I can understand that they're more around the comics, and now I'm willing to give the game more of a try because I like the mechanics, even though the models weren't something that I would have gone out and bought just to paint. I think Batman sits right in the middle of doing both. You've got the fantastic theme of lore. You've got third edition is the best rule set. I mean, I played first a lot. I didn't mind first. I liked second, but I agree. You did used to get games where it's like, well, you're in my deployment zone with my objectives. I'm in your deployment zone with your objectives. That's it. We're not going to interact on the last turn of the game. So just shake hands and not bother playing it. Tell it what you're scoring. Whereas I think they've got around that with the decks, and I'm really, really pleased. It just sits both. If I had to choose one or the other, I'm paying money and spending time to paint this stuff when I'm not playing games. I probably spend more time painting, particularly in lockdown. I might only play once a week face-to-face, but I'll spend 2 or 3 nights and some time at the weekend painting if I've got the time. So the models have to be good for me to want to spend money on them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was Deadlock's question. A-Team had come out and basically just asked again if we're going to do some interviews, particularly with the players that have been playing in the leagues, and sort of get more of an insight into what they've learned through playing the leagues. I don't think all of us need to answer this one. I think we want to bring more people on. We want to get the community involved, and we want to hear what people think of the game and what their insights are. I mean, we had Cookie on, and we talked about him every other episode in second. Or every episode in second.
Yep. I mean, everyone did.
Yeah. But I certainly think that, yes, we do. I mean, Jason, you did an interview with Top Hatted Hamster Games, didn't you?
Nope, that has not happened. And it I think it should still happen, maybe. Oh, I guess I did a text interview. But
yeah, I thought he put something out on the blog about it, yeah. Not on the podcast, no.
But no, we did do that.
So the last to A-Team, short answer, yes, we would like to. And Kiowas, I apologize.
Kai, how that is pronounced. Kiowas.
Kiowas. Thank you. What can the community achieve with the game, either through organized play, media, etc., both pre and post pandemic? So what can we do as a community, and what has the community done during the pandemic?
Well, I mean, so far a lot of us have made cards. So we've been the ones helping the roll of third. Probably shouldn't be a thing in a successful miniature game, but that was. Going forward, probably gonna say less of that now that Knight's doing this out. I've done the TTS stuff, which I think that's a community driven project now that we have 3D models, getting submitted and added. Chris has helped me out a lot with that. As usually, he's usually always my art guy. It's like, Chris, help me out here. And I know I mentioned this once in the Discord. I don't know any details, but Knight models, there's a slim chance they might try throwing me some assets or something for TTS, or helping out in any way. I don't really know. That is still up in the air of discussion. But I do look forward if that could, maybe that will inspire a league down the line or something.
Well, the nice thing about that is that that's by Knight Models reaching out to you saying, hey, maybe we could do some kind of collaborative and let's start to talk. They're not shunning it. They're not angry at us for stealing all their assets, using it. Because there are some companies that don't want their games brought into Tabletop Simulator because they feel like it's taken away from actual sales of the game, to where, for the most part, it's actually doing the complete opposite. I mean, I don't think there's been a model that I've played in digital format and I'm like, nope, there's no way I'm going to buy that one.
Yeah, no, it's been usually the opposite. I'm like, now I have to get this one. I know their community director, because he's the one who I'm talking to about this. He said it's very much like giving demos at a store, in terms of a new player could hop in, maybe they have TTS access, but they don't have, no one in the area actually plays the game. Just, he wants to get into it. Maybe he has some friends interested. This way he can learn the game, learn how it should be played, and then he can go show his buddies. And this game has a very steep learning curve, so that says a lot if you can, get some help hands-on, even if they're digital hands, and learn the game. And that helps Knight out a lot.
I think the community stuff has really sort of blown up in the last few months, certainly maybe since the start of 2021, because we're starting to see a lot more battle reports coming out. And, we've always had Flick doing his solo ones, but we're now seeing Shieldwall and Discourses channel on YouTube as well. Videos, the series of those that are now coming out. So they've just been coming out this next week. We're still getting the old blog posts that people are putting out. There's not so much on the podcast side, but the YouTube video and the creator content that's coming out of there, that's just exploded. And that was something that we've kind of really been lacking. So I think the work that the people in the community are putting in is absolutely fantastic. And things like a how to play video, it's just such an important thing to have, because if you've got something nice and clear that you can refer someone to, that's not like a 3-4-5 hour drag to get through, broken down, it can really sort of just help set people up. And I think digitally the community's in a great place. In terms of the other side of it, the face-to-face side, I think the bad will that Knight has had towards them since Third came out, they're doing some of the right things, but I think face-to-face organized play will have suffered because of, one, the pandemic, and two, because we've lost a lot of people that were traditional organizers. Certainly in the UK, I don't know what you guys think on your side.
That's to be determined. Stefan's still involved. I know him and the Boy Wonders, they did take a break. I think that's obvious, but Stefan's back in. I think the rest of the Boy Wonders still kind of in limbo in there. I expect them all to be back in Renegade. Hopefully that happens this year. I still think, though, a lot of the people I think we had a lot of like competitive gamers here in the US, and the jump to second to third, we were told a lot of rumors. And I think a lot of people were like, I don't like the sound of that. I'm going to go play Fortnite Edition 40K. And then Night Models, I mean, they've always been kind of shaky, and you know, them being them, they're like, I'm going to hop off this train. So that's going to be something, just seeing organized play and on pandemic time, probably not the best to judge it, but that, you know, had an impact. But going back to the community though, Night Models is sharing videos of how to play that the community is doing. That's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, who their Instagram and their, reblogging and reposting of people's painted models and the videos that they're doing, I think has been really big for the community, especially because they themselves is a very small team. So now that they're saying, hey, we're going to embrace the fan community, we're going to embrace what you guys are doing, we're going to work with you, and you know, we're going to celebrate what you do for us.
Yeah. I think not to go on the downer, but like, I think a lot of people jumped the ship. Like, you had, everybody's going to jump ship whenever a new edition happens. You have that happen, and you have MCP get announced not soon thereafter. You have a very slow beginning for third edition because of COVID. You have the death of the creator of Batman miniature game, and just a limbo thereafter of just not really knowing what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've taken these last 6 months and really applied themselves to what the future is. And I think this release, and then hopefully the releases in the next few months, really stamp what Night Models is going to do. Because, I mean, the amount of releases this month, even though we didn't talk about many of them, the amount is actually probably bigger than most other months we've had in a long time.
Yeah.
You're basically re-releasing the starter set in a more containable package that is more appeasable for people to buy. Because, $200 is a lot of money to buy for a starter set, even if it did come with two crews and terrain and everything else. This is an exciting time. I think it's almost like a 3.5. We're getting a new compendium. We're getting a new rule book. I'm excited to see what Knight does, what we can do. Honestly, to keep doing what we're doing. We've grown the community through this heyday. We're still the only podcast that's releasing content, but I'm glad that we're seeing YouTube videos come out. I'm glad we're seeing more people posting stuff on the Facebook, posting on even, people creating stuff on their own. The homebrew page has been blowing up in the last like month compared to what it's been before.
Yeah, and I've been loving what they've been doing. It's just great.
Yeah.
Simple answer is the community can do limited things. Although the quote crazy Jane, it is also kind of less than five. We can only post more content, more homebrew, helping new people out, videos, tutorials, just being active. I know you were, I'm trying not to be the downer with the pandemic, but there was a positive. I actually kind of think a lot of people just weren't as invested in miniature games because of the pandemic, and now that it's opening up, more people are going to jump back in, and now Knight is ready for that.
Yeah, I think they needed that year. They needed that year. Like, the pandemic helped them quite a bit because it let them kind of take their time, get this reset. Where I'd referred to it, like you were saying, the 3.5. I've said third edition season 2. We all kind of just joke about this as a relaunching. All of the cards that were out were like, okay, hey, let's clean them up. Let's make them consistent. So where a new person jumping into the game can then branch out to anywhere and understand, instead of having to explain to a player, well, that came out in the second trimester of the game and they were thinking about interpreting it this way. It was just so much extra crap that us older, more hardcore players of the game trying to teach somebody would have to constantly defend. And it was very irritating. So now it's like this soft relaunch, going, hey, we're going to kind of hit the reset button and what we should have done a year ago, that's where we're at now. And the 2020, the year that didn't exist for most people, it definitely felt like it almost didn't exist for them, and now they're catching back up and really hoping that they can keep this momentum going, staying positive the way they are. And I mean, even in the Facebook comments, which are typically pretty toxic, they've been pretty positive in the last few weeks too.
Yeah. And now hopefully releases are going to get faster once, because now they're not printing character cards anymore, which I know a lot of people are going to be like, that's a terrible thing. But you know what's terrible? People not getting the releases for like 3 or so months because they're waiting on some other company to print Militia Soldiers 1 card.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, they can handle it all in-house and print it. And they seem a little more on top with their head on the right shoulders. I hope people get their products now, and just this era is almost over.
I mean, the fact that they put all their cards in one box is actually very good for them, because I mean, they don't have to worry about all the extra cards and other packs and everything like that. It's from a business standpoint, makes sense, because now all you need to do is create the model and you can send it out. If you, for your quality control, messed up and didn't catch a misprint, you can easily just send another model, or send whatever part. I mean, it's easy.
I am very curious, and this is speculating, and we are probably going a lot longer than I think all of us planned for, but that is box one. Presumably one day there's going to be box two. I mean, we know there's going to be more crews. Mr. Freeze, cough, cough. Maybe teams, who knows? Something else for existing crews, maybe more shit. New cults. That was kind of teased in the Discord. Nobody knows, really.
I'm assuming.
Yeah, we assume. But who knows? Like, are we going to get characters and then later on they're going to get cards? Or are we going to get cards and characters? Or is it just going to kind of happen? I don't know. Just random speculating.
We shall see.
Yep. But I'm looking forward to it. There seems to be a bright future, and this is what I was excited about. I'm looking forward to their app. I'm looking forward to this whole Dex box and just people getting into the game.
This is a great time to get into the game.
Everything that we've said that's been positive there, and for all the praise that we've given tonight, so much of that has come from what's been driven by the community. So overall, if I bring it back to the original question, what the community's achieved is they've kept this game alive and brought it, working with Knight and with each other, to the point where it's now actually the sort of product that you want to be taking forward and want to be pitching to other people, and the game is in a really strong place. And I think that's down to everyone out there who's supported the game and kept it in their interest in it.
Yeah.
So round of applause to everyone.
Well, there's one more question. Is Tim Drake overpowered? Because Double Searcher answer is yes. That's all Endcast.
Is Tim Drake overpowered? Well, we got Tim Drake. We got a model for him. Yes, I'll leave Jason to talk about it.
That's all. No, no, he's not really, though. But anyway.
Gonna get a character card in box one. Watch it.
So I think that's everything that we wanted to cover. I think, like you said, Jason, we didn't plan to maybe run as long, and we've not run as long as we normally do, but no. Hopefully.
Still about half our normal runtime.
Going forward, we'll start to produce the talks where we're looking at the crews in more detail, and we'll let you know how the format looks for those when it comes out. But thanks to me, and anything else that you guys want to add just before we call it a cast?
All good.
Have a good day, everyone.
Later days.
So that was the latest episode of the Arkham Case Files. The inmates were definitely running the asylum. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you on the next one. Cheers, guys.
Bye.